Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 359 shows and counting. And we're going to have another great show this evening, and I just want to go over a couple things. I got a surprise coming on here in a minute, but I want to go over this. This show is the 8th anniversary this evening of Voices Carry for Animals, and it's a celebration for all the animals in need and distress, trying to bring them better lives and futures. And without us, they don't stand a chance. So we got to keep using our voice, take our actions, and, you know, do what we can to do to make it life comfortable for them, now, free from fear, anxiety, you know, abuse, neglect. I mean, there's a lot of animals out there suffering, and as soon as we get these victories coming through, the better. So the first show through the 163rd show was on TS Radio Network, Marty Oakley, and that's how I got started here, because I'm going to bring her. She's going to be the surprise. And then after the 164th show through this evening on Animal Advocates Radio, she helped me get that together. So this is a big show here tonight, and a big thank you to Marty Oakley, the PPJ Gazette, TS Radio Network, all the wonderful former guests that came on, the callers, the listeners and supporters, helping to share the radio promos from Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. I mean, this takes teamwork, but I'm going to bring her on. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette online, so if you'd like to listen to it live there, you can just press listen live here, and it will lead you to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the producer and host for Voices Carry for Animals, coming live to you every Thursday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. So I hope all of you enjoy the show, and we're going to be bringing the guests on here in a few minutes. I just want to bring a couple of them on the show and talk to them for just a minute. Okay, so please stand by and enjoy it. And I wanted to bring in Marty Oakley, and she is the producer and host on TS Radio Network and also the PPJ Gazette online. And Marty, are you there? I don't know how
no,
I'm going to do this, bring you on.
Yeah. No,
I don't know how we'll do this.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this is kind of scary. Kind of gives me the shivers.
Hey, I want to do this really. It gives me the shakes. I might have to hang up or something. You know?
Oh, shut up, big crybaby. Always crying about something. Always crying, man.
I'm so glad you started your own station.
I'm so glad when you started the station. I thought I won't have to listen to that crybaby anymore. Here you are, and it's just
you
like, congratulations.
You call me that. You know, but you know, we did a lot of shows together. I mean, I was your co-host
yes,
on
I'm coming up.
You know,
on,
elder abuse, guardianship abuse. Yeah. Over 75 shows on TS Radio Network, Marty.
Well,
that's
we're
amazing.
Coming up on
we're
coming up on 2,000 shows. So and
congratulations.
On the 14th of this, the 14th of this month, we started our 14th year on Blog Talk Radio. So
congratulations!
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
And I remember, how I met you, through the show you did with me. I was your guest, and we did a two-hour show on my father, George Dahmer, a.k.a. Chief Whitehall, former professional wrestler, that was neglected in a nursing home so bad that it led to his death. And everyone, that's how
that
Marty
was terrible.
And I got connected back. And, oh, it was terrible, Marty. It's devastating.
Yes.
You never forget. And that was in February of 2014. So if you ever want to go back and listen to that show, everyone, just go to Blog Talk Radio and Google, or I'm sorry, search Chief Whitehall or George Dahmer, and Marty and I did that show together. And that's we kept in contact, and I listened to her shows, and we together. We had was talking about bringing a show up for the animals, and we thought it would only be a pilot show for a couple of shows, but it exploded, and Marty was there, and we said, wow, check this out. We got to keep going here. So I remember I was your co-host for like the first five shows, and it's such an honor, and a privilege to do that, Marty. I mean, it was awesome. And then I remember go ahead.
I'd say it was just recognition of a fellow crazy person. That's all. Once I got past the whining and crying.
Everybody.
Yes.
He called me the biggest crybaby in Florida.
There you go.
You told me, you told me on the phone, you said, I remember I was in my car and I pulled over and you said, okay, now this is going to be your baby. And the phone dropped in between the seats. I had to call you back, and I was like, what? it's all your baby now, so you take care of it. But the audience out there, check out TS Radio Network with Marty, because she is a great speaker for the elders. She has these great hosts going on, and she's awesome. Yep. She's using her voice out there because she's out there trying to get, wake people up. Well, open your eyes. What's really going on with the truth and reality? We talk, and I'm so glad we're still good friends.
I wanted to congratulate you on lasting this long without somebody, trying to run you off the road or something.
Come on.
But seriously, congratulations. You've done an excellent job and really brought this issue to the forefront. You have good guests. I've listened to your shows. You're a good host. So just keep doing what you're doing, girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. And you know what, Marty? I can't thank you enough for getting, help me with this Animal Advocates Radio. You helped me with this.
Yeah.
You trained me from the beginning. And I give recognition to you because you're a teacher, you're a trainer, and that's how, because I didn't know nothing about the radio, and so I can't thank you enough, and we're still, good friends and keep in touch, and I can never say goodbye
always.
To you, so I'm just giving you a warning, okay?
Yep. Okay. All right.
I will keep going.
I'll try to.
You keep going, okay?
All right. Yes,
and
ma'am.
Everybody,
yes,
Ben
ma'am.
Marty, thank you for calling in. This was very special.
You
okay?
betcha.
You're very,
right.
You're always
goodbye,
special to me. And okay,
cry baby. All right.
Okay, bye bye.
Have a good evening.
Big hugs. Yeah, and Mama Cat says she's giving me a message. She said thank you, Marty. Hello? Okay. Okay, everyone. And I'm just bringing one other. I'll go two more in here for the celebration. And then I'm going to bring the guest in. And I'm bringing in Gary from Animal Advocate Alliance. And he is calling in from the UK. Gary Bowden, how are you?
Hello,
you
Mama
me?
Bear. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. It's 8th year anniversary and everything, and I appreciate you calling in. This is wonderful. You know, and all you do.
I hear about you, crybaby.
Yeah. When I was co-hosting with Marty on her elder abuse and stuff, she called me crybaby in Florida, the biggest crybaby in Florida. You know, and so I said, okay. So I would send her messages. It's me, crybaby, you know, with a thing crying. But she's awesome.
Well, congratulations, Mama Bear. Your 8-year anniversary.
Mom,
what an amazing achievement from a true champion of animals.
Yes, and I'm not going to give up either. And everyone, this is Gary Bowden. He's a radio producer of AAA Music Radio, All About Animals Radio. And you can visit that website, animaladvocatealliance.org, and go up to the top of the page and press AAA, the radio, and he's got my shows on on-demand episode also, and he's had some great shows he just started up. So please give him your support. And they're also on Facebook, Animal Advocate Alliance and All About Animal Radio, and also Twitter. So he's an animal warrior brother here. And we're a great team together. A big shout-out to all the global advocates on Animal Advocate Alliance website that's posting, because we're a great team, you know. So that means so much. And thank you, Gary.
That's what it's all about. All about teamwork.
Yes.
If we work,
that's
we get
right.
Better.
We have to have teamwork. And, in fact, you know, I always say that, you know, host to host, coast to coast, standing and speaking out together for all the animals in need and distress, because we're working as a team. The more exposure, the better, right?
Absolutely right.
So keep it up, you know. Keep it out there in the UK and everywhere, around the world, globally. And appreciate you calling in. And I know you're... interviews coming up here next month, and I'm looking forward to it, okay, and everything.
It is.
But I'm sorry?
7th of July.
Go ahead.
I believe it is. Show 361.
Yes. Oh, that's going to be great. And looking forward to it, okay?
Yeah,
you know,
I'm looking
so
forward to
it. That. Yeah, I know you're on a roll, so keep it up, okay?
Yeah, will do.
So, okay, and I got one more former guest coming on air. And I want to especially thank her, too, okay? But thank you, Colin. You could stay on, you know, stay on, listen to the show if you like. It's going to be a great one, okay?
Yeah, we're going to listen to
the
show. Massive thank you from everyone here at AAA Radio.
All right. Hey, you're so truly welcome. What a great team, because I'm a member there, too, and I post on there, everybody, as Mama Bear, so check it out. You know, thank you for that access for that, because I'm a proud member. Okay? But big hugs to you, Gary, okay? Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Mama Bear.
You're so welcome. Area code 505, you're live and on the air. Thanks for calling Animal Advocates Radio. We'll get this show started in a minute, and I just have one more coming on. Is this Dawn? Dawn Stanford?
This is Dawn.
Hey, Animal Warrior Sister, how's it going?
It's going good. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm the 8th year anniversary this evening, so you
it
know,
is.
Celebrating
I know.
That.
Congratulations, that's amazing. I'm so happy for
yes.
you. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, she is with Buster's Vision. She's been a former guest several times, and she's also working hard for the animals out there. And Don, can't thank you enough for all your support and sharing the shows. I mean, it takes teamwork to see any victories, you know. So,
it does.
And when we work together, we become stronger and stronger, you know. So, but
absolutely.
I appreciate you calling in, and we got to keep standing strong, being proactive and optimistic, because the animals, the elderly, and the children, they don't stand a chance without us speaking out for them and fighting for their rights. You know,
very true. Very true.
And
absolutely.
Yep.
And you're I would like to say that your shows and the platform you use is very, very important for education, because a lot of people don't know that animal abuse even goes on, but if they do, they don't know to what extent and just how bad it is. And so education is important. Teamwork is definitely key. Education is key. But in addition to that, you, as well as your guests, give information on what you can do about it. Talking about it and educating about it is very important, but taking action is where it's at. If you know about
it,
that's all well and good, but you've got to do something about it. You've got to do whatever you can to take action, and you always encourage your listeners to call and email your lawmakers and sign and share petitions, and that's really, really, really important to get things done, to get anything to happen positive for the
animals. Right, yes. I know.
And so in addition to, like I said, education, awareness, absolutely important. Teamwork, absolutely important. But taking action is crucial to help these animals.
That's right. In fact, I seen some today, Dawn. The SAFE Act for the horse slaughter, the ban it, it's going to a full House committee today. It was decided today, but it's going to a full House committee. So everyone, we don't stop there. When we hear that, we got to keep contacting our state representatives and senators because it's almost there. This has been a big, long fight. And if we don't take action, you know, we're spinning our wheels, okay? So
absolutely.
Once you know
about these things, you've got to do
something
about it. You've got to take action. Otherwise, nothing gets done. You know, you can know about it all day long, which is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. Education is definitely important. But then you've got to step up and get on it and do something.
Step up to the plate, you know.
Right.
HR 3355, everyone. That's a SAFE Act. It's going for a full House committee vote soon, okay? So I'll be posting it. It was good news today, but please, we have to take action. In order to see change, we got to take action, no questions asked. But, Don, I'm going to bring my guest on for this evening. I want to thank you so much for calling in and all you
do,
Animal
and congratulations.
Congratulations. So
I would send you a cake if I could, but it'll probably melt in the heat.
You can send me a cake through the private message, okay?
Okay.
But thank you so much, okay? Hey,
you're welcome.
And have a great
evening.
I'll be in contact with you.
I'm sure. Thank you.
Okay, everyone. I want to thank all of them for calling in. This is great. A big shout out to my mother, Moose, a.k.a. Pat, for all her love and support on this show. She's beautiful inside and out. Love her to death. And bring it on to Nivea Frederick. She's the founder and president of Feeding Pets of the Homeless. She's doing some awesome work out there. And it's so, heartwarming what she's doing. But I want to bring her on. How are you, Nivea? You're live and on the air.
Thank you for having me on the show. My name is Genevieve Frederick, and I'm the founder and president of this organization that I started in 2008. And I'd like to just give you what our mission statement is. We believe in the healing power of companion pets and the human-animal bond, which is very important in the lives of people experiencing homelessness. They find protection, companionship through those pets. They care for these pets on limited resources, so they themselves have less. Our task nationwide is to feed and provide basic emergency veterinary care to pets and thus relieve the anguish and anxiety of the homeless who cannot provide for their pets. Every day we get calls. People asking, how can I get pet food? My resources have ended. So we have lots of places where they can get free pet food. We have five different programs that we offer. One, of course, is the pet food, and we rely on listeners like yours to donate pet food to one of our donation sites, which can be found on our website. There's a map you put in your city, and it will tell you where you can get pet food, where you can donate pet food, where is a homeless shelter in that area that will allow you and your pet, because I can't tell you how many homeless on the streets will not go into a shelter because they'll have to relinquish that pet, and that's not going to happen. So that's one of the reasons that they call us. We have emergency veterinary care. Just to give you an idea, your listeners, in the last 18 months, we have had 1,427 pets go to one of our hospitals across the country. Now, right now in that 18 months, there were 46 states, and we had emergency cases in 413 cities across the country. So our program is huge. Since we started, we have paid hospitals directly for care of these animals at the price of $2.7 million. And that was after huge discounts, because some of these dogs that have been hit by a car, that we're looking at $5,000-$6,000 surgeries. So the hospitals, we give them so much, and then they discount the rest of it. So that's one of our most costly programs, is emergency veterinary care. In the last 18 months, now I'm talking from January of 2021 through the end of May of this year, we have spent $972,574. That is a lot of money. The average visit that we pay to these hospitals is almost $500. That gives people an idea of what we do for these pets. These pets are, they need dental work. They have ear infections. They've been hit by a car. They've got parvo because they've never been vaccinated. So one of the things that we do when they're in the hospital for an exam, we pre-authorize that exam. The dog and the person and cat go to the hospital. The hospital calls us and says, this is what we think is wrong with this pet. I mean, we've already done an interview, and we've got a pretty good idea of what's going on. So they call us, and they say, we need blood work, we need x-rays, we need all this other stuff. Yes, go ahead, do that, and make sure that you update those vaccinations, and we will pay for that as well. Then we also say, if an animal is going to be under anesthesia for some other reason, if it's appropriate at that time, we ask the doctor to get permission from the owner to spay or neuter that animal if they haven't already happened. So with this is kind of where we are. I have three case managers full time, and they are talking to homeless people every single day about their situation. And we ask them questions. You know, of course, we want to know, are you a man or a woman? You know, what's shocking to me is of these cases, 62% of these emergency cases and these homeless people are women, homeless women. And 7% of them are over 65, grandmas and aunts and uncles. And these are people that are over 65. Their Social Security and their pensions are not enough to keep them out of homelessness. Another statistic that your viewers may find interesting is that 11% of the people that we've helped in the last 18 months are homeless veterans. So this is one of our other programs. It's called, we work with the VA now and have for the last couple of years, about 18 months actually, we will help these the VA get homeless veterans into apartments. If they need to have that dog vaccinated or spay and neutered to get into that housing, we are there to help them so that they can get out of homelessness. Another statistic that I think you'll find interesting is that 46% of these people have told us they're disabled. Now, we don't ask them a lot of questions about that. We don't ask them, you know, are you Asian? Are you Mexican? Are you, you know, we don't ask those kind of questions. These are just people who have pets that love them unconditionally, and their pet is suffering. It's either hungry or it's in pain, and that's our mission, is to help these people. But, you know, everybody wants statistics, so we do take statistics. 26% of the people that we helped in the last 18 months were on Social Security. 66% actually get SNAP benefits. That's food supplement. 21% actually have a social worker that we're able to help. That social worker has called us, and I have a client who's homeless and they're injured or ill. Can you help? And yes, we will, because we have to verify homelessness, because we were scammed so much 1 year that, unfortunately, that's another barrier that and a challenge that we face when we're talking to people, that we have to have somebody verify that they're homeless, because we do this from an office in Carson City, Nevada, and we talk to people across the United States and even into Canada. So a few more statistics that I think are interesting. 28% of these folks are living in some kind of a vehicle, and 17% are living in a tent. I don't know in your area, but I was just in the San Jose, California area on personal business. But the highways and the expressways were lined with tents of people that are homeless. And California, to be honest, is one of the largest states that we have given help to, because I think a lot of people on the East Coast, because we're on the West Coast, it's hard to get a hold of us because of the time frame. And they think, well, they're not going to help us because we're on the East Coast. And that is not true. We've got over 1,600 hospitals in our network that we can call upon who've worked with us in the past. And they want to help these pets. And they want to help these people. These pets can be a lifesaver to these people. I have heard of so many cases where people will call back and said, if you hadn't helped my pet and he had died painfully, I would have committed suicide too, because this is my only friend, my only family that I have left. So
I know it is sad,
but you know, I think people have to understand that people going into homelessness with their pets, and that's usually how this happens. For whatever reason, they've had this pet for years, and now all of a sudden they're homeless. But it could be for a lot of reasons. And I think people automatically think, well, they're drug addicts and they're alcoholics. They have a mental illness. Those are true. Those are very, very true. But then there's the others that have gone into homelessness because of a medical bill that they couldn't pay and they had to go into foreclosure. It could be sexual abuse. It could be that now they're homeless because they're going into a domestic violence shelter with their pet. It could be an immigration problem. It could be, like I said, domestic violence, disabilities. I mean, there's not very many jobs out there that will hire somebody that has a serious disability, a physical disability. So you've got those kinds of things. And then what we found also is that kids that are aged out of foster care. This means they're 18, and they are now on the streets. 50% of those kids end up homeless. A stray dog or a stray cat will come in their path, and an instant human-animal bond happens. And a lot of these people will tell us that they got their pet because it was a stray on the street somewhere, and they bonded with it. It gave them comfort. And for women, these animals, these dogs, provide them with protection because it's so dangerous out there. So, you know, there's all the financial reasons that you become homeless. There is the lack of transportation. And, of course, housing is such a huge problem across the country. So, you know, I want your listeners to understand that when they see a homeless person, that person has a story. And unless you talk to that person, you will never know what that person has gone through, how that person ended up becoming homeless. So many times they feel so isolated from the rest of society, but this animal that they've got there is a way to open up a conversation so that they don't feel invisible anymore, that somebody's actually talking to them and wanting to help. Can I give you some water? How about if I go buy you some food? Can I give your dog some food? So it's been quite a journey for me, to tell you the truth. You know, when I started this, the legal name is Feeding Pets of the Homeless. And this is what I wanted to do across the country. I wanted homeless people to be able to feed their pets. And I didn't want them to feed them a half of a hamburger or whatever else they could get out of a dumpster. I wanted these dogs and cats to have nutritious, real food. So we've working with food banks across the country to distribute pet food. And we can't do that without the support of people donating that pet food. So just to give you an idea, that our donation sites have reported to us that they have taken over 844 tons of pet food to various food banks, soup kitchens. Some of our volunteers take that food out to homeless encampments. That we, of course, because we have to report to the IRS, we have fair market value of that food at $3.6 million. All of these kinds of information are on our website, which is www.petsofthehomeless.org. We are 100% charity navigator. We are on GuideStar as a platinum. People can trust that we are going to spend their donation dollars on our five programs. And we don't accept government money, so we rely on private foundations, from people leaving us bequest in their wills, and from donations, whether they're $5, a dollar, every penny is used to its best ability. And I have to tell you, we have 9 staff members that do this every day, and they're all full-time workers. So, you know, we may be in this little town called Carson City, which is the capital of Nevada, but we're helping thousands of pets across the country with our emergency care and our wellness clinics. We have helped 24,000 pets over the course of 14 years.
Wow, 24,000. That is amazing and uplifting, heartfelt. I mean, that's because, you know, remember we was talking a little bit before the show, with this inflation going through the roof, there's going to be more people getting homeless. You know, the housing's out of control, the rent, the food, the gas. I mean, something's got to give somewhere because we're heading for a recession. You know, it's coming up the sideline. You can see it happening. And you know that's going to bring more homeless and their pets coming, you know, and you said you had a lot of calls just asking where to get, you know, dog food or, and it's real. It's the truth and reality. You know, these people, you know, need our support. I've read where in some instances with this, you know, fixed income with the elderly, some of them can't afford their medications. They're going into other issues and dying, okay? And this is so devastating. It's like, whoa, what?
You know, they'll take the money that they should be spending on their own medication to get their dog pet food and its medication. So they will feed their dog before they'll feed theirself. And I've seen it happen hundreds of times. So it's a shame that we live in a wealthy, wealthy country, and to see the amount of homelessness that is rampant across the country, it breaks my heart.
Yes, it does. I know I've seen, you know, photos in California, to say, for example, all lined up, and it's like, whoa, this is so sad. I mean, these people, and there's pets involved too, that are living on the streets, and it's like, what, you know, who are we as human beings to keep letting this happen? You know, give them some hope to carry on. Give them a second chance. You know.
And you know what? And they do express that to us. They are so, we've given them hope that there's somebody out there that cares. And we and our case managers listen to their stories. And when they first call, they are just beside themselves because my dog or my cat is suffering and I don't know what to do and I don't have any resources. You've got to help me. And of course we go, yes, but we got to interview you first and we got to go through these steps. Of course, if the animal is bleeding and it's a true emergency, we're gonna just get through this interview as quickly as possible and get that pet to the nearest hospital. You know, a lot of times, you know, we only have 1,600 hospitals, but yet we are cold calling hospitals every day. Because one of the questions we ask the person, do you have transportation? If you don't have transportation, I can't expect you to walk 10 miles to the nearest vet hospital that we know will work with us. So now my case managers find out exactly where they are, and then they start cold calling in that area so that they don't have to walk far with an animal. Now, some of them will be able to get a ride from somebody else, or they will be able, if it's a small dog, get on public transportation to get to that hospital. But in most cases, that is not what happens. Only 76% had transportation because so many of them are living in their vehicles. So, you know, and then we ask them, how long have you been homeless? And the average time for this 18 months is 3 years and 1 month. So you know, and then we ask them, how did you find out about us? They are finding out about us mostly through other organizations that we collaborate with. So there's a lot of other animal welfare organizations out there, and they can't help this person for whatever reason. And they say, you need to call Feeding Pets of the Homeless. They will help you. So we have reached out, like I said, all the VA people at the Veterans Administration that work with homeless, they know how to get in touch with us. We've worked with police officers who know about us because somebody on their beat had a dog. I can tell you, this happened in Michigan. A gentleman called us, and he was a police officer, and he said, there's a homeless man on my beat. He sleeps in a doorway, and his dog had gotten into a dog fight. And So he called us and we said, we need to talk to the homeless man. And we did. They got the police officer went back, found the guy, and the dog, his ear was half hanging off and had a lot of lacerations on his neck and on his back. So we were able to get him to a hospital. The police officer actually drove the dog to the hospital. It was an amazing story how, because
check
he knew this
awesome.
Guy. He knew this guy. And it turned out that this man had been homeless for years because he was illiterate. I couldn't believe it. When I read the report from my case manager, I said, oh, my God, I can't. It was just blew me away that there was somebody in America that didn't know how to read. But that's why this poor man was homeless. He couldn't get a job. He didn't know how to fill out the forms, to read the forms, to even know. So now he was on the street, and he had a dog, and the dog was very seriously injured. So that story, you know, he took the dog back to the homeless man, and the both of them were in tears.
That is so sad. I mean, there's so many homeless out there, you know, and their pets and veterans. And it's right now, as it looks, with this inflation going crazy or through the roof, it's going to get worse.
Uh-huh.
You know, with this rent here in Florida has skyrocketed, homeowners insurance, houses, I mean, food, gas, I mean, something's got to give somewhere. You know, not everybody's rich and can afford this, you know. And it's just out of control.
And COVID had a lot to do with it. There were homeless shelters that would only allow so many people in the shelter because they had to be spaced, you know, spaced apart from each other. And then, you know, a lot of the homeless shelters don't want pets in their shelter to begin with because it's so overcrowded that this is a segment of the homeless that they can turn away and say, don't come here. And so they don't even try after a while. They don't even, you know, and then if they do, they have to be vaccinated, they have to be spayed, they have to have a crate. Now, this is one of my programs that we instigated pretty early on when I realized that homeless shelters were not allowing people and their pets in together. Because I knew if they could get into that shelter, maybe they could talk to a social worker that could help them get whatever they needed to get out of homelessness. Actually, drop ship brand new metal collapsible crates that can be used over and over by a homeless shelter. They're easy to store. And this way, if somebody comes up and they have an animal, they can sleep next to their animal with their right there, because the separation anxiety of somebody that's with their animal 24/7, it works both ways. They both get very anxious that they're not together. My dog's at home's probably sleeping on my bed, but there's a homeless guy that's walking around the streets. His dog is pretty well socialized and is with his owner 24/7. They're inseparable. So it's a barrier for the homeless, because if they do want to get a job, where am I going to put my dog? Where am I, you know, I need to go to the doctor. Where am I going to leave my dog? They leave them with other homeless people a lot of times, or they will tie them up outside of a building while they go in and take care of business. So the challenges and the barriers that they have when they have an animal, and we can lighten that load a little bit by providing them the pet food and the veterinary care that they need. We also sponsor wellness clinics. So if there is a veterinarian out there that would like to work with us, we will pay for all the hard costs so that they can go out to where the homeless congregate and Gigzam and give all the vaccinations to that pet. If there's something going on with the pet and the doctor says, ooh, this needs to go into a hospital or a clinic because I can't do what needs to be done out here in the field. So then the doctor would have them call us, and then we turn it into an emergency case. So that is, you know, those numbers, when I say, you know, 24,000 pets, a lot of those have gone through one of our wellness clinics. And these happen all over the country. We just need to find those volunteer veterinarians that want to give back to their community. They want to make their community safe from having cases of parvo and make sure that these dogs get their rabies shots. So it's, you know, it's a way to give back to your own community. We'll pay for it. You just need to volunteer your time. And it's pretty easy. You can do it out of the back of a truck or out of the back of a van and a collapsible table. So a lot of times the medical distributors will actually donate the vaccinations because they see they've worked with this hospital and this doctor, and the doctor goes out and says, hey, I'm going to do a wellness clinic in the community. I need about 50 vaccinations and 50 rabies. And there may be a few cats, so I'm going to need some of that too. And they're very, you know, or I'll buy one and you donate one. How about that? You know, so there's ways you can negotiate to make this happen.
It's amazing what you're doing. It's very heartfelt, you know, because listening to all this, it's so sad and heartbreaking, you know, so you're giving these animals a chance, and even the homeless person, and giving them hope, somewhat hope. Hope to see one day when they're all off the streets, you know, living comfortably and with their pets. Because, hey, they're furry loved ones, and we're close to them, you know. Just like the ones here. They got a good home.
Yeah.
All the ones that are sitting there that's out there on the streets, you know, with their mom or dad, you know, it's sad. And you're bringing you're a positive impact in this world. We need more of you.
And
you know that?
These animals are a positive impact on these people because we've heard them say, I gave up alcohol and drugs because I needed to be there for my pet. And that is like, yay. Very exciting. Yeah,
I know.
Because they know that
because
that pet
that means so
relies
much
on them. Yeah, yeah. So, anyway.
Yes, the furry loved ones. Oh, and if anybody wants to call in, 310-982-4270, questions or comments for the guests, just try to refrain from any noises in the background. TVs, radios, conversations, you're more than welcome to come on board. Mama Cat, can you call in right now? I wanted to thank you for all you're doing. She takes care of stray cats, 115 of them. And that's something? She's a former guest on the show. And then she's got a heart of gold. So she had 125 and down to 115. And Mama Cat, you there? Ray Bittner, former guest. Hey, Ray, thank you so much for all your support. You know that? You're wonderful.
Happy anniversary, Bill.
Hey, thank you. We'll have some cake through the internet. Right?
It's diet that way.
Yeah. I wanted to have Diane call in, too, because I wanted to thank her for all your support. But 115 cats and colonies that she takes care of. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it certainly is.
Well, and I wanted to thank Guinevere for all the work she's doing. I started a small program here in town to help senior citizens keep their pets at home because so many of the seniors were going to the shelter to relinquish their animals because of the same reasons you're saying, medical, that they couldn't afford or food that they, you know, were having a difficult time, or they were being ticketed because their dog was getting out, and just different things like that. We would go to their houses, help fix their fences, help them with medical issues. And, you know, the seniors need to keep their pets at home as long as they can. Some of them, it's the only thing they've got. And, you know, just do what you can, a little bit of give back, pay it forward kind of thing, you know.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Got a big heart there, Mama Cat. That's awesome what you're doing. And a big supporter of this show, Voices Care for Animals Family. You know, keep it
and,
up.
And, you know, another big thing about your show, Debbie, is when people listen in, you know, I hear all the time, well, I really want to help, but I don't know how. And when they tune into your show and they hear so many different guests that do different things, I mean, everybody helps in their own way, and everybody's got, you know, a different story about transport or helping seniors, helping the homeless. You know, there's so many things that people can do. Just go walk a pet at the shelter. I mean, there's just so much people can do. And when they listen to your show, I think that it helps them gain incentive on different things they can do, you know, that they, maybe they didn't think of before. And so hats off to you for helping so many animals. And, you know, it takes strength in numbers, baby. That's how it goes.
There it is, strength in numbers, written by Mama Cat. That is so true, because the more of us, the stronger we become, you know. That's what I try doing this radio platform, bringing awareness and how you can help out and take that action, you know. Because there's a lot of things that I don't know until I have these shows of what's going on behind the scenes, you know. And so it surprises me. And I say, hey, we got to do something. All of us can all do better than what we're doing, helping out. Because the longer the victories take and the changes, the longer the animals suffer. So what's, you have a choice. And so bring, you know, recruit more people coming in. Because the politicians, they don't like public outrage. They don't, you know, like the public cry. And the more of us, they'll take care of it. Just like with this horse slaughter, HR 3355, I've seen where how many people got involved. This is huge. I need to pass it. You know, people taking action to get it to go, you know, contacting their senators and representatives. It's amazing how many letters were sent, phone calls. I mean, you name it. So right there is proof that we have to take action if we want to see changes.
Well, and also, with all those horses that they rounded up here in Colorado, and then they took them down to Canyon City. Well, it wasn't Canyon City. It was outside of Canyon City. And they had them in all those corrals, and a virus came. And one by one, those horses started dying off, and they didn't do – they may have done something, but they obviously didn't do enough, because every one of those horses down there that they stole from their home, that they rounded up with helicopters and any other mean thing that they could do to them to get them rounded up, every one of them horses ended up dying. And that was, I mean, it started an outrage bigger than it was through the roundup. You know, not only did they steal them away from their families, but then they all died, every one of them. And it was such an outrage. And I think that woke a lot of people up. It grabbed more attention, which is good in a way. And, you know, I mean, you know what I mean. It wasn't good that they died, but it was a definite wake-up call to
spotlight.
A lot of people sitting on the fence. Right.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah. Put it in a spotlight and said, hey, there's something, we got to do something here, you know. So, but Ray, Mama Cat, you know, what your ladies are doing is so heartwarming, you know, and uplifting. And to see these homeless people is sad, to even know that they're homeless, living in tents or on the street or wherever, in their cars. And you're just a, you know, you're bringing a shining light. You're a shining star for them. And hopefully, you know, their lives will turn around sooner or later for the better. But everyone, you know, this organization, Feeding Pets of the Homeless, hey, they got an online shop, too. I seen that also, where you can buy things, donate, whatever you can do, because none of this stuff is free. You know, whatever you give, whether it's $1, $5, $10, $20, whatever you can afford to help them out, hey, it's coming right from your heart and saying, hey, I need to help out.
And maybe this year, instead of going and buying $500 worth of fireworks, maybe you could donate half of that to the animals this year. That would be a great thing.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be great. Also, you know,
oh my goodness,
you're out there, you're at the grocery store and you're buying your own pet, some pet food, buy an extra bag and take it to one of our donation sites or take it to a food bank.
Absolutely.
Yep, there you go, right there too. That would be awesome. And I got another caller. I wanted to thank Diane, Pitbull Diane. You're live and on the air. And Mama Cat, stay on the air, okay? Pitbull Diane, thanks for calling in. And thanks for all your support. And she has her new show. It's on the part of Animal Advocates Radio. I've been training her on Tuesday nights, everyone, for Pit Bulls, Action Takers for Pit Bulls, Tuesday at 7, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. So please join her. This is, I think, the fifth show, right, Diane? Go ahead.
Yeah. Awesome. No, I wanted to say, you know, the work that Genevieve is doing, it's amazing. I'm just like, I'm floored at what the work that she's doing. It's just awesome, and it's so much needed.
Well, thank
you.
I appreciate your support. Spread the word to other of your family and your friends or your coworkers. Let them know that we're out there helping. That's, you know, it's all about spreading that word so that we can continue our mission.
Okay.
A human
we
chain
have
reaction to take action,
here.
Right? That's it.
Yeah.
That is wonderful.
I'm going to give that information to our shelter.
Yeah,
yeah,
I was going to say, I need to keep that information, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pass it around. You know, press that share button. Let it get into newsfeed on Twitter, Facebook, you know, LinkedIn, Pinterest. And it's a human chain reaction to take action, everyone. Help out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever you could do, it's heartfelt. Do your part. Put a little love in your heart and do your part. You know, who are we as humanity when we see the suffering of others? So please do your part, okay? If you can do it,
I have one quick question for Genevieve. Is that okay, Debbie?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
We're down in our 2 minutes.
Okay. How many people do you have, like, working under you? How big are you?
Oh, okay. We have 9 full-time staff, and we have over 300 volunteers across the country.
Wow. That's awesome. Over 300. And ladies,
yes.
I'm down to just a close to a minute and a half, minute and 30 seconds, and I want to really thank you for coming on air this evening and, you know, being a part of this and updating us on everything, Feeding Pets of the Homeless. And I would love to have you come back sometime, okay?
I would love it.
Yeah, the more exposure, the better, and I'll be in contact with you because I have, you know, your contact information. And a big thank you for all the volunteers out there, you know, the staff, you. A big shout-out for a big heart you got and doing what you can and helping
thank
out.
Thank you for helping.
Doing whatever you can.
Thank you.
Hey, anytime.
Thank you
That's
for spreading
what I have to
the
show.
Word. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, and I'll be sharing the more stuff, okay, and on LinkedIn and all the sites I'm at and everything. But I hope everybody joins us next week. We got Youth for Animals out of India calling from out of the country, so hope you join in. I love it when, the young kids, they get involved, because when they start out young, they move forward into their adulthood loving animals also. So thank you all for tuning in, and hope you tune in next week. And at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listening worldwide, unlimited listeners, everyone. Thank you all for tuning in, and may God bless you all. Good night. Good night, Ray.
You.
My mama cat and Pitbull Diane.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, thanks, Don and Gary, for calling in, Marty Oakley. Bye-bye, everybody.
Awesome show.
Loved it.